Hey, aloha, good morning.
Aloha, morning.
Paddles Up Mornings here with us.
So we've been pondering this for a while, and you know, anyone that's been listening to our messages, we kind of interweave this, but I think it's becoming more and more evident about this whole fear thing. So it's a fear of being deceived. We want to just kind of chat about and look at different facets of this, because it's so ingrained in our psyche and society, and especially when you look at it from a religious perspective. A lot of people are so fearful of the unknown, fearful mm-hmm. of what they're not used to, fearful of some spiritual leader that may mean well or may not mean well, telling them that if they do something or if they go somewhere or listen to something, that they stand
beware,
a good chance of
beware.
Being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to really dive into this because it's really derailing people from experiencing the more fullness of truth in Christ.
Right.
And you got to remember, friends, that Christ is way bigger than any belief or idea that man can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're looking at the Godhead,
right.
we're talking about the entire cosmos, galaxy after galaxy, bigger than all of that, breathed into existence this thing that we live in called the solar system. And then you dial it down to the macro level and you look like little tiny ants compared to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't just relegate it to, oh, my own little box and my own little world and my own little town and my own little church to say that I know the fullness of truth.
Right.
You know, that's really trying to cram the entire solar system into this one little church pew of where you live in your own little county.
Of your level of understanding. Because that's your level and you've mastered the level of that. And so that's, bless God, that's the truth. Right? We build these small little empires or castles around ourselves because of just needing to feel secure or stable, and we don't realize that we've pushed Jesus out and he's now standing on the outside knocking on our door. Yet we're claiming to believe in him and trust him, but we've actually built up walls around us through doctrine, through doctrinal beliefs, man's opinions, and most of them were made out of the mortar of fear. And now you have pushed out the gospel, believe it or not, the good news. And it's now on the outside in the wide open spaces, and Jesus is constantly coming and visiting and knocking on our consciousness and trying to get us aware. Wait a minute here. Did I tell you these things? Or is this what man's telling you out of a fear-based doctrine? And I know this is something we often don't want to look at, but how often are the things that we are operating in or believing in based in fear? So much so that we have made the devil and demons almost bigger than God. It's like John always says, does God really have a worthy opponent to get in the ring and fight with? No. The devil's under his feet. I mean,
have an enemy, you'd have to have a worthy opponent.
Yeah. And he's seated us far above all principalities and powers. And so to always have this separation mindset of warring or being against something, or I need to take something down, or I need to do something, there's a far better way, like we've been talking about, of ruling and reigning. You know, there's spiritual contracts in place. You have been given authority. And that authority is not just in words. That authority is in presence.
Yes.
You know, think about everywhere Jesus went and the impact. How about Peter walking by in his shadow healing things? He didn't have to even say something. So there's power in what you carry. And so we want to talk about this whole thing of fear of being deceived. And a lot of times we are operating and trying to do that all in our own strength, through our ego, through trying to learn all these protocols, learn all these doctrines, learn all this stuff, and hear all these Bible-thumping stories of fighting the devil and Yeah, I'm sure, you know, there's legitimate stories to that. But again, is there not a higher way in the kingdom of ruling and reigning in the power of presence? And
comes down to who's doing it.
Yeah.
Is it me doing all that? And people will make this argument and they'll say, well, we've been given the power of attorney to act on his behalf. Yet,
did he say it was finished, though?
Yeah.
So what war are we fighting?
Yeah, yet when you look at individuals' lives and we get really honest with ourselves, is it really fear driving that whole scenario of how high and how far I can yell to try to get some entity to move, mm-hmm. when we all know the one that carries the most authority is the one that comes in and brings presence,
yeah.
without words.
Light casts out darkness. The light is doing it. The light dispels the darkness. The light
does.
And God says perfect love casts out darkness. So love is the highest frequency. So you're operating at a high vibrational frequency that, again, is dispensing and dispelling the darkness and the fear and all that kind of stuff.
So, but that comes from a place of really knowing mm-hmm. our identity, which is, by the way, the lack of sin. So when we know our identity and we're aligned with our identity, then sin is dispelled. That's what it means. It means alignment, basically. Yeah. Is that when you're either sinning and you're misaligned, that's equals misalignment, or alignment, you're not sinning.
Yeah, and sin is not the kind of sin we've all been taught.
Exactly.
It actually means that you're being indifferent to the true original identity that God's given you. You're being indifferent to who he says about yes. you. That you are seated with him above principalities and powers, that you are one with him, that greater things, you know, than I did, you will do. And so we have to really take almost like an assessment here of ourselves, like, wow, am I operating, you know, fighting these demons? Am I coming from a place of fear? Because that fear is one of the lowest vibrational spots on the chart. So now you're in their territory because they operate in fear. And so now it's this touche, you know, ear for ear, eye for eye, tooth for tooth thing.
Yeah. And intention.
Yeah.
So we talk about intention, right? If you focus on something, you're going to draw more of it.
That's right.
This is the beginning stages of the quantum realities. It's mm-hmm. like quantum physics says, it starts with intention and focus. So when we place our attention,
and we're looking for it,
it will appear.
Yeah, because you chose to look for it.
I can't tell you how many times in my past, when I was caught up in all this warfare, caught up in all this demonology stuff, that I placed my focus on that darkness in order to get rid of it. But see, when you focus on something, you draw it near, it's going to stand there and say, well, wait a minute, you drew me in the first place by focusing on me.
That's right.
And now you're trying to rebuke me. You're trying to rebuke me, but yet you keep focusing on me. So anytime you see an individual keep calling out the devil's name or keep calling out entities' names in order to get rid of them, chances are there's the fear at the root of that. Mm-hmm. There's fear as a base, guaranteed, because first-hand experience with this. Amy and I both do, but more so me, because I used to head up and be the head of these groups of warfare and spiritual warfare and all this stuff, heading it up years ago. And I can tell you that the root of all of that was fear. And yes, some of it's effective, okay, because you've got some mixture in there with some faith that says, okay, I'm going to dispel you through my voice, through words, through right. my belief. Mm-hmm. Yet you keep attracting because we keep focusing. It was when we stopped focusing on the enemy, stopped focusing and giving attention, that he fleed, he stayed away. Mm-hmm. Says resistance doesn't have to have words. See, resistance doesn't have... Yeah. When you resist the enemy, stand mm-hmm. in faith, stand in your belief, and he will flee, or they will flee. Dark energy will flee. It will leave. It's like Amy said, when you stand in the light, darkness dispels. That doesn't necessarily require words.
Yeah.
You're standing in the light.
You are energy. You're vibrating at a certain megahertz. And so depending on how much light you've let into yourself, you know, is what's coming out. And let us remember Christ himself is living within us. The kingdom of God is living within us. And so if we want to put attention on anything, let's put it there. And exactly. It will be a natural byproduct for the, you know, darkness to flee. I remember in Revelations where it talks about how those that couldn't turn to the light, there will be no place for them to hide and run to, you know? And so, again, it's a natural response for darkness to run and hide and not want to. And so some will think, well, I don't want him hiding anywhere. I don't want him, you know, anywhere. It's like, but they don't want to be around light. It's okay. So it goes to the story. Here's another example. And you've heard this maybe in the past, this share about the guy that was flying the plane. He didn't realize that mice had got in and they were eating the wires of his little Cessna plane. And so he couldn't just reach down, try to grab the mice or do some stuff, you know. And so he's kind of at a crossroads. Well, what did he do? He didn't nosedive down trying to take these guys out. Instead, he pulled up higher because he knew that as he ascended, the oxygen levels would change and it actually caused the mice to conk out. They went unconscious and they could not operate or function anymore. So he pulled up higher into a higher altitude.
So that's the great point to make is as we're talking about deception. And most people believe in the religious world that they're going to get deceived easily by listening or looking at another facet of what could very well be God leading into more fullness of truth.
Right.
And so how do you keep from being deceived? You ascend.
Yeah.
So if you're personally ascending, then the mice, the darkness, cannot stay. It will knock them out and cause them to flee and stay away. Any kind of dark energy, any kind of dark entity.
Yep.
The more we ascend. And so when we hear people, let's bring it down to the ground level in church. I can't tell you how many times this has happened to us over the years when we are caught up in the institutional world of church, is somebody would say, well, I can't do that because I can't go to that meeting, or I can't stay home because I'll be deceived. I can't stay home on a Sunday because I'll be deceived. Or I can't go talk to that person, can't be around that person because pastor said don't talk to that person. So all of these things surrounding you, you got to wonder like, okay, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, you're living out of fear.
Bring it down to an everyday level here. Why can't you? Well, because my pastor said, or this leader said, or this person said. It's never really, well, God said. See, because if we're honest with ourselves and we're ascended and we keep growing and maturing and we know the voice of God, we know his leads and prompts, we understand who he is and his voice, then we will listen when he is leading us somewhere over and above the voice of man, no matter if it is a mega pastor or a well-known person somebody that seems to have a big time authority. We will listen to the voice of God over that. So if God is leading you to go to a certain meeting, or he's leading you and you feel a peace on it, you feel this, hey, I feel I should do this. And then somebody comes up to you in fear and you sense it's fear, then you have to listen to that. And which voice are you going to listen to? The higher vibration, the higher frequency, the higher ascended Christ in you? Or you're going to listen to a man that is operating out of fear because they don't want to lose their biggest tither, or they don't want to lose you as an individual because you're bringing all these gifts and talents and abilities to their organization?
Right.
And I mean, let's get real about this, guys.
Yeah. And they may be they may be well-intentioned, too. They may have good intentions, but because they've been so ingrained with all these doctrines rooted in fear, that they're now projecting that on you. Oh, you can't trust yourself. Don't trust your heart. The heart is evil and wicked above all things. And don't trust. You can't go by feelings. Your emotions are deceptive. All these kind of, all these threats. So again, it's a fear-based doctrine heading in your direction, challenging you to not trust your inner leadings and guidings of the Holy Spirit. This is so important that we take back what we've actually given up. And that is being led by the Holy Spirit in these leads and prompts through what we're feeling, through what our heart is telling us. He speaks through that vibration in your being, oftentimes more than words. Yeah. Words are the translation of that inner prompting and heart pulse and vibration where your body, where you're like, I'm not feeling good about this. I got a gut check, right? Or my intuition, or all these things that are trying to tell you, you know, I feel like throwing up if I head in that direction, or, you know.
Here's what's really deceiving. And again, like Amy said, they may be well-intentioned, but the real deceiving part is when a leader or leaders or a group or an organization is well-intended, yet they don't understand the level of blinding and cloaking that has been over them, the conditioning, the programming that has been with them for life in some cases. If they have, daddy was the pastor, granddaddy was the pastor, and you have this hand-me-down where this person's just raised in it, there is such a thing as a generational blinding or a generational conditioning that keeps us blind. Mm-hmm. Remember when Jesus said it's the blind leading the blind and they both fall into the ditch?
Exactly.
Not just talking about Pharisees themselves. We're talking about this conditioning that comes over any individual that could bring blindness. And so the level of deception there is the fact that somebody may go to one of these leaders that's been conditioned this way, again, well-intended, can go to the individual that's, quote, under them or as part of their congregation or their group and say to them, you're not hearing God. If that person comes to them and says, listen, I feel like I'm really hearing God on this. I've prayed over it. I feel this peace. I feel a drawing to move to another state, for example, or move to another country. And then because that person is well-intended, that leader, they're like, they don't want to lose that person, or they care for them. And they're cloaked in blindness to a degree because they've been conditioned, right? Then they go to that individual and say, that's not God. That's not God. You're needed here. You're needed here. And if God wants you to go, he'll tell me to. Well, the problem with that is, guys, when we're real honest about this, if we really want to get down to the nitty-gritty, is oftentimes that leader is so busy with their own lives and they may not take the time to really sit and listen about your own individual situation.
Yeah.
And if they do, again, it could be conditioning speaking because
of what they've learned.
They learned what of what they've been taught in their doctrines
in seminary
to tell
school.
You no. To tell you no. And so this is where you've got to cross that terror barrier if you're really hearing God, and do it anyway, because you're going to either listen to Christ in you or you're going to listen to man that thinks they're hearing Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, you know, you obviously you don't want to just dive into something out of presumption. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if you've taken the time to listen to his voice, to look at, you know, do your research and kind of look at the situation. Go travel to that state. Travel to that country if you can and go over there and listen for yourself to see if it's really God. You know, it's not just you getting a whim and saying, oh, yeah, I think that'd be cool. I want to go try that. You know what I mean? It's that, those kind of things so that you don't move out of presumption. That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But being deceived starts at the very basic levels of saying, what is deception? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Deception is just merely believing something that is not true.
Yeah, and we...
And how do you know it's true or not?
And here is where grace comes in, because remember, God has not left our side. We have all of our angels supporting us. We have the Trinity and the kingdom living within us. So we're not alone to the point of, oh my gosh, I'm going to so be deceived. No, they're all around you, helping you all the time. And there is grace to learn. There's grace to learn. So there's grace to step out and experience something. How else are you going to know? And in that doing so, it gives you contrast to where you can reflect back and say, okay, so those gut checks I was getting and all these things were accurate. I can actually trust those leads and prompts of the Lord, of what he was telling me. So, right, he tells you something, you know it in your body, you step out, whether it's, yes, move forward in this direction. So you move forward and you realize, wow, okay, I can trust this. That's exactly what happened. It worked out for my good. Or there's other times when, oh, I'm not feeling good about this, and you have a check in your gut, not in your head because of all the doctrines you've been taught, but actually in your gut, in your heart and spirit, warning you, don't go down this path. And you go down that path and you experience a setback. But there's still grace, right? Because now you know, it's honing in and learning how to follow the leads and prompts of the Lord. There's grace to learn. It's not going to be this just, oh my gosh, I'm going to hell now. I'm cut off forever. I've been so deceived. So now the rest of my life, I've got to build this castle around me and not let anything in. You know?
Oh, man.
We have to be willing to just, we're here to experience life and grow. And there, again, there is grace to experience the contrast, because then you move from believing into knowing. You know?
Yeah, and you know, guys, this has happened to us a lot. I'm sure you have your stories too, where one thing that really is a challenge is when friends are involved, or what you thought was friends, right? I can remember the time, it's been several years back, we were part of this group. We got to know some people we thought pretty well. And so we had some friends. And one particular guy I used to hang out with, I thought was becoming a good friend. And we would talk about business things, talk about ministry. We'd just hang out and do, you know, go golfing and things like that. And I remember when we knew it was time to leave that church setting, that place, God was drawing us to Hawaii. And we knew it, and we tried everything we could to leave gracefully and peacefully. Some things happened where some lies were told, and the leadership believed them. And my friend individually, personally, believed it hook, line, and sinker. And so after we left, I reached back out and said, hey, let's work through this. Let's talk through this to my friend. Who I thought was my friend.
Yeah, come, let us reason together.
Yeah, come, let us reason together. Let's talk this out. I have a side too. It's not just the pastor's side. Because what happened was, this person was starting to be part of the leadership there. And they believed everything that the pastor said. So I knew it. We knew it. And I was just reaching back out to see if, hey, man, you know, is there any hope of you listening to both sides here? Which, knowing in my gut, it wouldn't happen, because when somebody buys in to a lie and there's a spiritual authority attached,
and there's the fear of being deceived,
it is the fear of being deceived, right? Because after all, that individual, don't talk to that individual because they're living in deception. So all these lies were told about us, and it's one of the worst things that can happen to an individual, because spiritual abuse or spiritual authority that is bringing that abuse or those allegations, those lies that are really lies, but they believe it's truth, the other individual, is one of the hardest or difficult or challenging scenarios to break free from.
Yeah, the abuse of your own character.
Oh, man. Because that person literally believes that God is speaking through that individual saying the truth.
Or because he's in a position as a pastor. Never mind if he has underlying mixed agendas too, because
exactly,
he was also friends with our close friend, and he was afraid that our friend was going to side with us or follow us, so he had to double his efforts to keep him tight because he was afraid of losing him. The pastor was afraid of losing our friend.
Yeah, so he promotes him and puts him in this place of authority and see, look, and then so my friend was thinking that God's promoting him, right? And so see, I'm doing the right thing here by not talking to that guy, John and Amy, and they're deceived, you know. So see, God's rewarding me. God's promoting me. Look, I'm next to the pastor now. Mm-hmm. And so I kept reaching out, you know, through text messages, and this individual said, I can't talk to you. You know, I can't talk to you. Like, you know, I believe my pastor, I believe them as they're to be good leaders. And so I can't talk to you. And so I'm like, Christ wouldn't do that. And he mm-hmm. goes, we can't be friends. So I'm like, well, I just letting you
baby
know that,
out with the bath that water.
Jesus wouldn't do that. You know, he just wouldn't cut somebody off like that. I'm sorry, but he just wouldn't. And he goes, well, you know, I'm not saying forever, but, you know, it is what it is right now. Well, it's been years later and still no word, nothing, you know, from this individual. So I've had to reconcile that with God. And obviously it hurts.
Yeah.
And so not so much anymore because I'm starting to really see it for what it is. But boy, it did for a while. And I'm like, over the years, you know, you begin to ponder why in Christianity or mm-hmm. church or religion mm-hmm. this happens. But outside of that, people will talk to each other and they'll say, hey, let's get through this. Let's get over it.
They'll give the benefit of the doubt. They'll, you know.
But boy, when you mix spirituality in it, it's like this fear of being deceived is just stronger than God, mm-hmm. you know, in their minds.
Who's living inside you?
Yeah. And so you got to think, okay, it's believing something that is not true. That's deception, guys. A basic definition is believing something, some situation, some circumstance, something that's not true. But how do you get to the truth of the matter?
And this is
you have to bring out all sides. When you're dealing with two people, let's take two people, for example. Two individuals, maybe they're a married couple, or maybe they're just friends. The mediator comes in between. If you want to get to the truth, a mediator, a neutral party comes in and
like
says,
Solomon.
I want to hear both sides, mm-hmm. and then we will make an assessment like Solomon did with the two women, mm-hmm. right?
The baby.
Remember the story about the baby? It's the only way you get to the bottom of the matter. If you're going to choose sides because somebody, quote, has spiritual authority, look, anybody can slap a pastor badge on their chest,
mm-hmm.
and run out there and open a building and say, I'm the man of the hour, or I'm the woman of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then people look to him and go, oh, you're so wonderful. You're a pastor. I'm going to believe everything you say because you have a badge of pastor on your chest. Can I just tell you that a lot of pastors are messed up,
mm-hmm.
just like anybody else. They have issues. Orphan issues, they have ego issues, they have conditioning issues, just like you and I. And so if we're going to buy into that hook, line, and sinker, that's called deception. It really is.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of untruths there that haven't gotten to the bottom. Because why? What are we going to do? If you've bought into that mindset and that mentality that pastor is like God to you.
Don't question their authority.
Don't question their authority.
Don't touch their anointing. Yeah. Well, we're all anointed. We're all in him.
Exactly. Then I'm sorry, but you stand a real good chance of being deceived. Because remember what deception is. Remember what deception is. Is believing something that is not true. So there are untruths in that individual's life, guaranteed, just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are giving somebody your power away? When,
giving your power away
when you have Christ within you, leading and guiding you into all truth. The Holy Spirit's leading and guiding you into all truth, so you don't need to worry about being deceived. But when you stop following those leads and prompts of the Holy Spirit within you, and you're now being indoctrinated by a message that says, "Touch not the anointed," and don't question your pastor, don't question authority, taste it. The Lord said to taste the fruits, right? Is that operating out of fear or is that operating out of love? It's a simple taste test, right? Exactly. Always taste test what you're eating and what the taste is in your mouth.
Now, I guarantee you this inevitably happens. When some well-meaning person that's been indoctrinated and still is grappling with this religious conditioning, they will often say over the stuff we just said, they will say, "Oh man, you're speaking against authority. How dare you talk about leaders that way? Don't you know you're in trouble with God because you are dishonoring that office?" Oh, can I just tell you emphatically that no, we are not. No. So we are not dishonoring anything. See, if you believe it's dishonor, then you're not really willing to look at the truth of a matter, mm-hmm. because truth is truth.
Right.
And remember what deception is. Can I just tell you one time? That deception is believing something that is not true. And then you go, what is truth? Well, to get to the bottom of the matter, you have to go in and say, "God, please show me the truth in this matter." Mm-hmm. And be willing to hear it no matter what.
Right.
Be willing to hear it no matter if it stings you or hurts you or has a potential of offending you, because I guarantee you, when Jesus walked the earth, he brought a lot of offense to people, although that was not his heart, right, to bring offense, right? But truth brings offense to the mind that is still holding on to egoic activity.
And this is still the one holding you're following on to conditioning. Is Jesus.
Exactly. We're following Jesus. And so we're all about getting to the heart of the matter. Let's get down to the bottom. Listen, I want to know the truth. If I taste something funky in my food at a restaurant, okay, for example, let's just getting ordinary life, then I might want to find out what's going on in that kitchen.
Yeah.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go, hey, look, are there rats running around in there and peeing in the food? I mean, come on, let's get real. So be willing to go there. If you don't want to be deceived, then you and I, all of us, have to be willing to go to the root of the matter. We, Amy and I often say, where's the root?
Yeah.
Where's the root? Then you're going to find the shoot.
Yeah.
When you look at the root, you're going to find the shoot that's growing up in that person's life and producing the fruit from the root to the shoot to the fruit. They're going to toot.
Oh, no.
So it's one of those things where, okay, buddy, okay, sissy, let's get to the truth of the matter. And mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is that if it's on me, let me own it. If it's on you, own it. We're just listening to this guy that we love to listen to. He's just becomes real. He's a spiritual teacher. I mean, he talks a lot about living out life and evolving out loud, you know. And he's talking about all these people that are just telling these lies about him in his real life, and that they're not willing to get to the truth of the matter and own it themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. telling lies about somebody else is only going to expose you in the end. Guaranteed, at some point, you're going to be called out if you keep spreading these lies about people, right? But it's brutal during the process of these lies being spread about you. And it's happened to us several times. I'm sure it's happened to you. And it's the in-between, right? That's the most brutal. Like, waiting for God to avenge you or waiting for God to expose it. And it may never happen in your lifetime. This is where we need to grapple with it ourselves and become better and mm-hmm. ascend and expand and grow and mature, because it's really meant for us. It's meant to expose the darkness in us. It's meant to expose whatever it is that we're believing, the lies we're believing, so that we can transcend it,
yeah.
and become the love towards that broken person. And that's hard. If you really, let's just get real. It's hard sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but it's necessary if we want to grow.
That's right. And you know, again, I just really think it's so important that we're like, wait a minute here, who are we following? And look at the life Jesus led. We're following him. We're following the good news and what he preached and all these things. And instead of going back under, like Galatians said, who's bewitched you to go back into the old ways of doing things, back under law, back under the gimmick of law and grace, which, I mean, you guys got to hear this in the Mirror translation. So powerful. It says, I am amazed that you can so easily be fooled into swapping the gospel for a gimmick. The gospel reveals the integrity of your original identity rescued in Christ. Rescued in Christ. The gimmick is a conglomeration of grace and legalism. The mixture boils down to the do-it-yourself plan of salvation, which is a recipe for disaster. And then it continues a little further into verse 7. This is Galatians 1 through 1, 6, verse 7. If any hint of the law remains, it is not good news, but merely religious people's ideas detracting from the gospel of Christ. It's pretty amazing. And then
awesome.
The verse, I know it's a hard-hitting verse, but where Jesus said, you have no need that any man teach you. Why? Because his spirit resides within you. And it's right there. 1 John 2:27 says that, right here, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things. It continues, you know? So that's Jesus' word. So this fear of being deceived is just a fear again, false evidence appearing real.
Yeah, and you're under
who's in you, teaching you and training you.
Yeah, you're quote under tutors until you come of age, right? It's the same in the natural. Your parents teach you and help you in everyday life things, but if they're really good parents, they steer the gifting that's already in you, mm-hmm. and they steer you towards hearing God's voice for yourself.
Exactly.
So then, when that time comes, 18 years old or whatever it is in your country, 18 years old, they come of age in America, and then boom, you're an adult, go out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, parents that sit there and say, now remember everything I taught you,
mm-hmm.
remember everything I conditioned into you.
Right, subconscious.
Subconscious programming. Then they'll run right out and be a mini parent instead of being their own individual creative right. expression in the earth. Okay, so a great parent will say, remember everything you heard from your best friend, from God.
Yes.
And that is train a child up in the way they should go when they're old. They won't depart from it. That's what that really means. Not remember everything you've been conditioned by in our own mess. And then when you're old, you won't depart from it. That is true. That is true. That will happen. The conditioning will play out. Or you can go the higher ascended way by saying, listen, you know what to do. You know how to be.
Follow the leads and prompts.
Follow the leads and prompts.
What's your heart telling you?
And really that any great spiritual teacher will do the same thing.
That's right.
Just not telling you what to do through doctrine, because exactly. that's robotic. That is formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
That is deception, really. And it brings you into untruths, because the truth abiding in you in oneness, Christ Jesus,
yeah.
is the one that's the greater authority, the greater place of stability, the greater place of security and safety, is following the leads and prompts no matter what.
Right, because oftentimes he won't do things the same way again. And so if you're looking for absolutes, well, then you will wind up right in a very legalistic religious system. Where with God, he's so fluid and so creative. I mean, look at all creation. I mean, we're dealing with the most creative, innovative, unbelievable, divine, Father. And look at even how Jesus, he never healed the same way again. And so if you're looking for stability in absolutes, it's really comes down to only one formula. If you're looking for a formula, whatever God's telling you to do, do it in the moment.
Yeah.
Whatever he's calling you to, moment by moment.
Yeah.
So yep. Yeah. Yeah, more help than you need. I mean, it's just,
yeah, I wanted to just share some stuff that was on our heart related to deception, because it's so prevalent. And the bottom line is, just do whatever God's leading you to do. Yeah. And you don't, we don't disrespect others in that process, you know, like saying, well, John and Amy just said to just blow off pastors or blow off spiritual leaders no matter what. It's not what we're saying.
Yeah, we're all brothers. If you
have safe people around you and they allow for you to be you and listen to God, wonderful. So we're not saying that to just go out and rebel against every place of, quote, authority. What we're saying is follow God no matter what.
Yeah, above all else, yes.
We love you guys.
Yes, we love you. You guys know our hearts in this. And just, so keep it simple, right?
Keep it simple.
Are you doing something out of love? Not obligation, remember, but are you being led by love, the power of love? Or is it being led by fear? So easy, right? Simple things. So, okay, well, you guys enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you again.
Bye-bye.
Talk soon. Bye.